I'm glad to be here, and I hope you are. You excited? Well, I am. And I want to share from my heart what I believe God has put on it in the few moments I have with you today. And don't you think it's so fitting that we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper? Before I go before you with the word and my message, I would like to go before the Lord in prayer. So if you'd join me, I'd appreciate it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you for Mark and Allison Galbraith, every single choir member, every orchestra member, the sound, and the beautiful worship we have had provided for us here today. What an awesome job they do week in and week out. And through their beautiful talents, through their love of you, we can actually encounter and worship God in spirit and truth. Father, we know this is a great day. In some sense, this day has been coming since 1955. It is a milestone. And we know you're here and you're going to visit us with power. So, Father, in these moments we have together, we pray that the Spirit of God that so permeates this atmosphere will speak to our hearts and will give you glory. And we do pray that you forgive the sins of the one who teaches, for they are many. We would see Jesus and Him only. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, and all of God's people said, my first Sunday as pastor of Temple Baptist Church was June 28th, about 6 years ago. And I want to begin my message today by thanking those who were here that voted me in to be the pastor of this church. As a matter of fact, I want to thank the stakeholders who had the vision at Tabernacle Baptist Church in 1955 to plant this church called Temple Baptist Church and to plant it right over there on Henderson Avenue with a vision and dream for missions to reach out to a community that needs Jesus Christ. I want you to know something today, that if indeed you vote in what will be presented to you today, it will be the culmination of work that began from visionaries in 1955. And four of those charter members are still members of this church today. I never forget my grassroots. I never forget where I came from. And I want you to know, when I first came to this church, I had a new vision and a new dream. And I was totally dependent on the people who were here to support that, to make it a reality. Because these folks didn't know who I was. And they had to use their influence either to oppose me and try to thwart it or to support me and champion the cause, and they chose the latter. We lost 30 or 40 people who did not buy that vision and dream. I said it then and I say it today. We would have kept them and not caught 1,000 of you that's joined, or we had to sacrifice them and gain 1,000 of you that came. But the grassroots folks here believed in the vision, embraced it, and championed it, and I will never, ever forget that all my life. I was called this morning of a lady named Irma Rawls who died. She was a part of those people. People who are now in rest homes, people who are deceased. It's because of their vision, their commitment, and those who committed with me when I got here to get us where we are today, and I will never, ever forget you who were here then. Next, I want to thank all of you who have become members since my tenure here. You know what testimony I heard Wednesday night? From someone who recently joined here, a man of God. He says, I want to testify tonight that I just recently joined a church, and I feel as much of a member of this church as anyone who would be a charter member. You know, you can't manufacture that. Either that's here or it is not. And I want you to know, and you can testify to this, regardless of when you joined this church, you were made to feel it wasn't that church, it was our church, and you were a vital functioning member of this church. Would you give me a witness to that effect? We have the cream of the crop who have joined this church in the last 6 years. You have been the most gracious people on the face of this earth. You are a patient people. You are a loving people. You are a committed people. And I have said this before, and I believe sometimes you think it's rhetoric, but it's not. I believe this is one of the greatest churches on the planet, and it's because you love Jesus and each other, and we have been tried and tested, and we're still unified today because what happens at Temple Baptist Church is real and authentic. You agreed to make this move here when many of you didn't want to because you felt that it was a part of my vision. We were trying to grow and not stop growing until we could get the building built. Even though you didn't like it, even though you've gone through many, many hassles and challenges, you have supported me anyway. And now that we're going back and now that we're back on track, I want you to know that when you had the time to love me or turn against or complain and gripe and quit, you stuck with it, loved me absolutely and unconditionally. And for that, I will never forget you. You make me look good. You make this staff look good because you are such an awesome people of God. And I am committed to you as your pastor. And I love you absolutely and unconditionally. I want to thank the Long Range Planning Team, chaired by Tommy Phelps. And when he gets up here, he will share with you all those members on the team, their insight, their wisdom, their incredible contribution. I love every one of them. And I tell you, I am a better man today having experienced them. And I thank God for them all. I thank Tommy for his unbelievable commitment through all the challenges we have met every Tuesday. We have been together in this process. And I will never, ever forget Tommy and a long-range planning team who stuck it out and brought us to what this is today. Yes, I'm getting it all out before I'm getting to the message. I'm grateful for my staff. Any leader worth his salt knows that he's as good as the people around him. If you ever forget that, you're going to be in trouble. And I've got a tremendous staff, and I thank God for every one of them. I thank God for where we've come to today. That means that I thank God for Jerry and Beth Walker and the work they contributed, for Joe Davis as the staff liaison, for their unbelievable work. I'll be eternally grateful for Ellis Walker and all the contributions they made, and I thank God for them because they were a part of the process too. Today, I am very grateful for our present staff liaison, Barbara Saunders, her tireless work with Bank America and as the liaison for the project now. It's just been incredible, the work and hours she's put in. And I want to make special mention and appreciation for Bobby Evans, Michael Dunn, and Ferrier Sons, because from the time they came into this, under the sovereign auspices of God, it has taken off like a rocket. It's been uncanny how God has moved. And the thing that is so great about that company is how important they have demonstrated we are to them. What a priority Temple Baptist Church is to them. Fighting our battles, going to work for us, making us feel that their entire lives and business center around what they are doing for us. And I want you to know, I couldn't imagine a more professional organization, godly men, who are committed to this project, and I am grateful for every single one of them, and I think you'll be very impressed, and I hope you pray for their presentation to be forthcoming. Now, is everybody clear how much I think of you, how much I appreciate you, and how much I love you? Is everybody clear on that? Let me know. Okay. That's good, because what I'm going to say to you now makes that necessary. As wonderful as you all are and how much I love you, I've got a news break for you today. It's not about you. And it's not about me. What we do here is kingdom work. If I die tonight, the kingdom will triumph and won't miss a beat. And the same goes for you. What we do here is God's work. Only God can accomplish His work. God has extended to you the glorious privilege. Watch this, sports fans. I am inviting you to join me in my work, and I will do that by revealing to you where I'm working. When I do, that is my invitation for you to join me in my work, and that's how we experience God, the glory of God, and the best of you. What have I learned in all the years of my Christian life? Particularly, what have I learned in the last 4 years? Even more specifically, what have I learned in the last grueling 2 years of my pastorate, particularly the last year at Temple Baptist Church? Well, I'm glad you asked. And I found it, and God gave it to me in the book of Proverbs, of which I ask you to look now with me briefly as I share. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. That's where we'll begin. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Now keep in mind that a single verse in Proverbs can contain a complete thought, or it can be connected to several verses. It can stand independent, or it can be loosely or more connected, but it is wisdom literature, and so each axiom that is presented there is power-packed with wisdom. And the ones that I'll read to you today to show you what I believe God has shown me will be connected. Proverbs chapter 16. Before I read the verse to you, let me tell you what God has taught me and should have taught us by the virtue. It's not about us, it's about Him, particularly in the last year or two. Are you ready? The direction of God's plans determines the direction of our plans. If you heard that, when I say it again, I expect a response back, something along the lines of amen. The direction of God's plans determines the direction of our plans. Guarantee it. Amen. Now look in verse 9. The Bible says, in his heart a man plans his course, but it is the Lord, but the Lord determines his steps. Look in chapter 20, verse 24. You'll see basically the same thing. A man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? The direction of God's plans will always, ultimately, and eventually determine the direction of your plans. Take it from me, one who now clearly knows that. Rick Warren said it. I don't know if it's true, but it certainly has been my experience. He says, when God reveals His vision to you, He always does it in three ways. And you can see this in Scripture too. First of all, He tells you what He's going to do. Then He shows you when He's going to do it. And then He reveals how it is He's going to do it. And Rick says 90.9% of the time, it is nothing like you thought it would be. Boy, is that not the case with us. So many times we were at the precipice of what we thought God was doing, the direction of His will, just to have it snatched from us in the last minute. Many times, so much as a delicious dinner to someone starving, it would waft by our nose. This is it. This is where God is this time, surely. And once again, He would fool us all. It got to the point that where we didn't have confidence in any of our directions, and then when we got there, He came. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be reminded constantly that what we do here is God's work. Let me ask you something. Do you believe God is always at work? Amen. Did you know that God is never static? God is not taking a nap. He's not on a siesta. God is always at work. Do you need a little scripture to support that? Jesus said, "My Father is always working." God, in sheer existence, is always operative. He is always working, and He is alive and well, working in our individual lives and working at and in and through Temple Baptist Church. Now, only God can accomplish His work. Everything we do here is a God-sized task. If we can figure out to do it, if we can do it through human ingenuity, it most likely is not from God. When God moves in, it is a God-sized task. Only He can accomplish His work. And so when He's working and only He can accomplish His work, what He does is He invites us to join Him in His work, and then you and I can be used to the glory of God. So that when God is revealing where He is working, that is His invitation for you to join Him. You endure the crisis of faith, experience God, and that's how we do it, both individually and collectively. Ladies and gentlemen, once you begin a life of adjusting your life to God, you don't just adjust one time and stop. One thing I've learned, it is a continuous adjustment, and it's good that it is, because we're in a living, real, vital, dynamic, interactive relationship with God that you just can't get instructions at one time and just go on your merry way. Each day, moment by moment, week after week, month after month, year after year, you must continually adjust to God, and even today's yet another adjustment of God. Mark my words. The direction of God's plans will determine the direction of Temple Baptist's plans every single time. That's the first thing I've learned. The second thing I've learned is this. The purpose of God's plans prevails over our plans. Now look at this in Proverbs 19:21. The Bible reads, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Oh, that's so good. Many are the plans in our hearts, the team, the staff, the church. But whatever God's purpose is, I've got some good news for you today. It will prevail. Let me tell you something. You might have said, why in the world is it taking us 4 years to get to where we are today? I'm going to tell you, are you ready? Because that's the way God wanted it. Listen, do you believe God's in charge? Do you believe He's sovereign? Do you think He's at the mercy of human decision or indecision, good decisions, bad decisions? This is God's work, kingdom work. Let me tell you something. We're right on time because God knew what we needed, and that's why we're here 4 years later where we are today. You've got to believe that. Now let me give you an example. When Moses were leading the people of God, God made them take this big detour. God says, look, you can go from point A to point B in a straight shot and get right there. But you're not going that way, and I'm not going to tell you why you're not. You're going to go this long way that's going to take you much longer to get there, and you know what the people of God are going to do? Whine and complain about the detour. And God chose not to tell them why. You want me to give you the inside track on it? If they would have gone a straight line from A to B, there were some countries there that would attack them, discourage them, and they would have retreated. God led them in a way that they could avoid that, took the big detour so they didn't have to face that, and chose not to tell them so that He could test them. And so that when God brings detours in our lives, He does it for His own reasons. Now, what was our purpose that we wanted to prevail? We have no room in parking. We have no room in education. We have no room in sanctuary. We need to build a building. Let's build a building. When are we going to build a building? That was our purpose. But God says there's another purpose. You need a little refining. You need a little growing up. You need a little discipline. In fact, you folks ain't ready for this. I'm going to have to break you a little while and get you ready. And I want you to know, last year particularly has been one of the toughest of my ministry here, but I can stand flat-footed here today and tell you I have grown more spiritually over the last year than all the other years put together. Praise His holy name. God's purpose prevails over the purposes of Temple Baptist Church. Hallelujah. One more and I'm through. And I love this one because this is one I'm giving you before you see the presentation and vote today. You ready? Here we go. The success of God's plans subverts the success of our plans. Woo! Let's get in on this. Chapter 21, verse 30. This is sweet. Proverbs 21, verse 30. Watch this, sports fans. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. You believe that? You say, how do you feel about today's presentation vote? I just read it to you. Wow. No wisdom. There's been a lot of wisdom shared. No insight. A lot of insight. No plan. What plans? But none of them, if God's not in it, can succeed. And you don't want it to. On the other hand, if it is of God, it's going to succeed. Now, before we celebrate the Lord's Supper, I've got something to tell you. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is not this building. It's Christ. For me to live is not this job. You say, don't you love your job, Pastor? Yes, but it's not this job. For me to live is Christ. For me to live is not even relationships. As important as they are, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Flat-footed, and I'm going to see if you can amen this today, in the presence of all of God's people, in the presence of God Himself, I declare I have absolutely no agenda but God Almighty's. Whatever He determines today, I will absolutely abide by. Listen, and I live by this, whether it goes my way or not. You hear me? God's will, you mark my words, will always be confirmed by the voice of the church. I'll abide by it, and you will too. I trust you, and I have confidence in you. And my prayer for you is, as you search your heart of hearts, when you hear the presentation, you do what the Spirit of God tells you in your heart and be done with it. Don't apologize to anybody. You've got a relationship with God. God loves you, and you do what He tells you to do, and you can never, ever go wrong. Now, some gentlemen are coming forward. Let me see if you're with me on this. It's not about us. It's about Him. If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
You think about that as we celebrate the Lord's Supper.